Hello, everyone, and welcome to Full Time, where we take you around the world of soccer, locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally. Full Time is presented by The Game Sports Show and powered by The Game Entertainment and Media. You are listening to Season 2, Episode 5 of Full Time. I am your host, Daniel Scarpino, and with me is our co-host, Gaetano Gallo. Before we begin today's show, Full Time is sponsored by Little Caesars Pizza. With their three locations in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, you can download and access the Pizza Portal app so you can enjoy a delicious, hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars today. We remind our listeners that Full Time is a weekly recorded podcast on the Game Sports Show. Recordings of Full Time occur every week, and uploads to all of our platforms for public viewing and listening occur every week as well. Folks, what a pleasure it is to be with you on this podcast. Your support of the show and willingness to be engaged in the world of football is something that we are so grateful for. Gaetano, December has arrived, and it's great to be here with you on this midweek day. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Scarps. How are you?
No complaints on my end, G. Life is definitely good. And in today's episode, we will be discussing the news surrounding Juventus Football Club, the summation of the group stage at the World Cup, the round of 16 matches at the World Cup, and a preview of the quarterfinals, and of course, the World Cup. As always, if anyone would like to listen to our previous content, please check us out on Full Time on the Game Sports Show. And without further ado, Gaetano, and to everyone who has taken the time to tune in here today, let's kickoff. We begin today's show by delving into the world of club football, and after some rather shocking news has surfaced. One of the world's biggest and most successful clubs, Juventus, find themselves on the wrong end of the newspaper headlines. The excerpt I'm about to read has largely been obtained from the UK Mirror, with some paraphrasing and alternative information as well. The news surrounding Juventus starts as follows. News has broken that the club's entire board at Juventus have resigned. The board of directors, starting with President Andrea Agnelli, Vice President Pavel Nedved, and Managing Director Maurizio Arrivabene, among others, have all stepped down from their positions. Agnelli is a major player in European football and is one of the founding voices behind the disastrous attempt to launch a European Super League last year. He has been Juve president for 12 years and has been a prominent voice over the past few years in particular. Nedved is a Juventus legend who made 327 appearances for the club between 2001 and 2009. The 50-year-old was appointed to the Juve board in 2010 and became vice president 5 years later. Arrivabene joined Juve from Formula One team Ferrari in 2019 and has been the club's chief executive since 2021. He will remain in place as chief executive until a new one is appointed at the next shareholders meeting on January 18th, 2023. Several other directors on Juventus's board have also resigned. Italian media outlets report that the decision is linked to the board's involvement in the Prisma investigation, which has been opened by the Turin Public Prosecutor's Office. The investigation reportedly involves 15 different people at Juventus and relates to alleged false accounting and market manipulation. Last month, Juventus denied any wrongdoing after the allegations emerged following an examination of the club's financial statements. On October 25, 2022, Juventus said in a statement, quote, Juventus remain convinced to have acted in compliance with the laws and regulations governing the preparation of financial reports, in accordance with accounting principles and in line with the international practice in the football industry, end quote. The allegations are that Juventus misrepresented financial losses from 2018 to 2020, a period when Fabio Paratici worked as the club's chief football director. The 50-year-old Italian is now Tottenham's managing director of football. A statement on the club website said Maurizio Scanavino had been appointed as the new general manager. Director Giorgio Tacchia will replace Mary Lungo, who has resigned from her role previously. The news comes after Juventus registered a record loss of £219 million, which is equivalent to 254 million euros or $360 million for the 2021-22 season. Juventus have been in decline for several years, with performances on the pitch sliding. After winning 9 successive Serie A titles between 2012 and 2020, Juve have just finished 4th in the past few campaigns. They have not made it past the round of 16 in the last 3 editions of the Champions League as well. They are currently in 3rd in the Italian top flight and were knocked out of the Champions League in the group stages back in October. Gaetano, this news brings about so many different emotions, and I suppose it brings about even more questions. But just what are you making of this situation?
It's really crazy that one of the biggest clubs in world football is on the brink of kind of almost a total collapse at this point. It's super shocking. Like you said, you know, 9 straight Scudettos, you know, perennial Champions League challengers, and now could potentially be playing in Serie B next year. It's nuts.
Well, and just the mere thought of it alone, not to mention that it could actually become a reality. Just the thought of it alone is, I hate to use the word, but it's crazy to think. But this is the situation that Juventus finds themselves in. And obviously, it's a little early to start speculating, because we know on these types of matters just how quickly things can and do change. But do you foresee any sort of specific ending in sight for this story, Gaetano?
I mean, I think the demotion to Serie B would probably be like the extreme end of the punishment, but I can't see them getting away without at least like major fines and probably point deductions for either this season or the next, for sure.
Well, there's definitely going to be some sort of recourse and implications and repercussions of some kind as we move along with this story. And as time marches on with this story, we know that the news will be prominent in the world of football. But here on Full Time, we will endeavor to keep all of you, our listeners, up to speed, because this is a story certainly that we didn't expect to hear nor to see. But this is something that we are currently living in, and Juventus fans certainly have to be concerned. Folks, the group stage of the World Cup in Qatar has concluded. Above all else, it was the round of 16 matches that continued to keep the footballing world talking. Gaetano, we've seen so much at this World Cup, and it's hard to know where to even begin. On a scale of 1 to 10, G, how much have you been enjoying this?
For as much as I've been able to watch, it's 11 out of 10. It's been great.
Yeah, I think breaking the scale probably would be justified. And I had a conversation the other day. It was on Monday night, actually. And somebody said to me, I've never seen a World Cup like this. And like you said, obviously, it's difficult to watch the amount of games that you'd want to, because they're played in the morning and in the daytime. But at the end of the day, it's certainly been incredible in terms of what we've been able to see. And what we are going to do here is we are going to get everyone caught up with how the group stage finished and the two teams who advanced from each of the 8 groups. We'll also review our picks and see where we got it right and where things didn't go to plan for our predictions. If anyone wants to listen to our analysis of the first 9 days of the World Cup, please check out our last week's podcast on Full Time, which was Season 2, Episode 4. In Group A, it was the Netherlands who topped the group with 7 points. Senegal ended up capturing 2nd. Gaetano, we picked both of these teams to go through at 1 and 2, respectively. No huge surprise here, is there?
No, I think this group played out pretty much exactly like we thought it would.
Totally. In Group B, there were some twists and turns. Not really so much for England, however, as they topped the group with 7 points. It was, however, the United States who placed 2nd in this group on 5 points and got themselves through to the round of 16. Gaetano, we both picked England to top this group, which did happen. What didn't happen was Wales coming in 2nd in Group B. The States claimed that 2nd spot, so we were only half right here. Your thoughts on this group, sir?
Yeah, I think Wales were super underwhelming, and also like finishing last. Like Iran had a great tournament for themselves, so it was surprises all around in this group.
Yeah, a lot of surprises indeed, but I suppose the biggest surprise was, in my opinion anyways, the quality of football that the States played. I thought that they looked really sharp, and probably 2026, I think they're going to be a real side to be reckoned with. In Group C, Argentina did what they had to do after their very slow start to the tournament, claiming 6 points in the end and topping the group. It was the second position that had the footballing world on the edge of their seats. After both Poland and Mexico finished on 4 points, it was Poland who advanced to the round of 16 on a very narrow goal difference. Gaetano, so many emotions in this group. We both picked these two teams to get through, and they did just that. Give us your summary of what you made of this topsy-turvy group.
This is a really, really fun group to watch, because other than Argentina kind of pulling away in the later ends, like there was a stretch where Mexico was out based on yellow cards, which was nuts. I didn't know that was a thing. I've never seen a World Cup group get to that point. So yeah, it was super exciting to watch.
We hear the words fair play in the world of football so often. We often question, well, what the heck does that even mean? And we almost saw that they would have been knocked out in such a fashion. And, you know, it would have been wild to think if somebody would have been out or in of the World Cup to the next round because of yellow cards. But that was, like you said, a reality at one point in time. In Group D, it was France who saw themselves through to the round of 16 after their first two games of the group stage, ending their run with 6 points. It was down to the other three teams in the group to claim second spot. To the surprise of many, including myself, it was Australia who got themselves through to the round of 16, who also finished with 6 points after winning their final two games. Gaetano, we both picked Denmark to win this group, and I'm not sure that it's too far of a stretch to say that they were the flop of the tournament, but I must say that I did not expect all of this to happen. We did pick France to go through, but the story here is all about Australia. Just how surprised were you with this, and give us your thoughts on Denmark's performance at this World Cup as well.
Yeah, I think the Socceroos were great. They were like a very, very solid team unit. No like standout individual players, but they really, really committed to that team effort, and they were great. Denmark, on the other hand, just kind of fell apart. I don't even really know what went wrong. They have so many good players. They had played so well at the European Championships last summer. I really couldn't tell you what went wrong here.
Yeah, and I suppose, at least for me, it's a bit of a cop-out to say that one team pieced things together in the Socceroos and the other did not in Denmark, but it really does come down to that when you get to the nitty-gritty of it. So certainly Australia deserved to go through, whereas Denmark, it simply didn't happen for them. In Group E, it was Germany with a shock exit at this tournament, and it was your pick, Gaetano, Japan, that topped the group. Japan win the group, claiming 6 points. Spain and Germany both collect 4 points, but it was Spain's far superior goal difference that saw them through. Gaetano, we disagreed a bit on this group. You had Germany and Japan going through, where it was Spain and Germany for me. In the end, it's Japan and Spain who get through to the knockout stages. Just what happened here?
So I'd like to think that I was smart enough to say that one of the giants would fall. I just got it wrong.
Yep.
But Japan, same almost as Australia, that there's no real individual, like standout individual talent, but the team plays so well. They're super disciplined and they just played really good football. And then I don't know what happened with Germany. They have a very good squad. They brought a great squad. It just didn't click.
Yeah, I thought after they had drew with Spain, we talked about this in our last podcast, and I thought that that was going to be the turning point, if you will. And they did win their last game in the group, but in the end, it just wasn't enough. And you take a look back to that first game, and obviously football is a matter of moments, but that first game really did hurt them in the end. And yeah, a little bit of a disappointment for Germany, but I have a funny feeling that come the next tournament, they certainly will be back in full force. In Group F, if this, you know, I must say it wasn't who most, if any, expected to win this group, but it was Morocco who claimed the top spot with 7 points. It was Croatia who placed second with 5 points. A relatively sizable exit for this tournament was Belgium, who did get 4 points, but it wasn't good enough to get through. Gaetano, we both had Belgium topping this group. You were hopeful with Canada, and I figured Croatia would get through. We do a 50-50 split here, but just what went on in this group, man?
This group is nuts. I don't think most people had Morocco winning many games in this tournament, let alone the group. They've played so well. Their players are so talented. Hakimi and Ziyech are two of my favorite players I've watched in this tournament so far. They're so good. Belgium just fell apart. I think Kevin De Bruyne has said in an interview going into the World Cup that he thought that their golden generation's chance at a World Cup had gone and passed in 2018. They're a little too old for it now. He was kind of right.
Yeah, and you'd hate to sort of admit defeat before you even take the pitch, but it almost seemed as though once Belgium did take the field that they were almost out of their depth a little bit. And like you said, they totally collapsed. There was things being leaked from that dressing room to the media that people weren't particularly happy about, and you could totally understand why. But I guess the real story here is all about Morocco, that they were the ones who topped this group, and rightly so, because they played some fantastic football. Like you said, the likes of Hakimi and Ziyech and many others, they were absolutely outstanding. There wasn't an abundance to talk about in Group G. It was Brazil and Switzerland who both advanced on 6 points each. Due to a slight edge on just one goal, Brazil topped the group and Switzerland get the second position. Gaetano, you had this group picked 100% correct, whereas I was probably just a little too high on Cameroon, although I didn't think that they played poorly by any means, but it was really, in many ways, like I said, it wasn't an abundance to talk about in this group, but probably the rightful two teams went through. Give us your breakdown of this group, G.
Yeah, I think Brazil did their job. They got their 6 points in their first two games. Lost the final game to a very good Cameroon side. They were surprisingly good in that game. And Switzerland's defensive unit kind of carried them through their three games.
And finally, in Group H, Portugal secured their place in the round of 16 with two victories, claiming 6 points. The second spot was highly, highly contested in some very difficult matches, but it was South Korea who earned their way to the knockout phase alongside Portugal. Gaetano, it was Uruguay and Portugal for both of us. In the end, Uruguay bow out and South Korea get in. What do you make of this one?
I think it was great that Ghana helped get Uruguay out of the World Cup. Just some revenge from 2010. But a super, super competitive group. I really, really enjoyed watching these games. And South Korea played a really, really good tournament.
Without doubt. And like I said, with Portugal, obviously they had a very strong two first games, and then South Korea. And again, it went down right to pretty much the final seconds. I think South Korea had a wait of about 6 minutes to find out if they got through, but they certainly deserved it in the end. So, G, just to recap, based on our group stage selections, we both got 10 out of 16 picks correct, which is pretty good, but it means that we draw against each other. The odds of that happening are pretty slim, but it has happened. The big spots where we both missed out were the USA, Australia, Morocco, and South Korea. Gaetano, who has been your surprise team of this tournament?
It's the cheap answer, but it's Morocco. They have been fantastic. And I know we're going to get into their round of 16 result in just a bit, but they are just a phenomenal team.
I totally agree with that, and it was so interesting because I had so many conversations regarding Canada and the lead up to the World Cup, and how many people told me, "Oh, well, I'm sure that we'll get a result against Morocco. I'm sure we'll maybe even beat Morocco." And I'm thinking to myself, "Well, that could happen for sure, but Morocco is still a very, very good team. So they're showcasing themselves to be just that good, and I agree with you. They are certainly my surprise team in the tournament so far." Just to recap, the teams who qualified for the round of 16 were the Netherlands, Senegal, England, the USA, Argentina, Poland, France, Australia, Japan, Spain, Morocco, Croatia, Brazil, Switzerland, Portugal, and South Korea. This is Daniel Scarpino and Gaetano Gallo, and you are listening to Full Time on the Game Sports Show. A reminder that Full Time is sponsored by Little Caesars Pizza. You can download and access the Pizza Portal app for any of the three locations in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Have a delicious, hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars today. Gaetano, the round of 16 was absolutely sensational on so many levels, and we are going to discuss all of the matches that took place. But I wanted to discuss to this point and get your perspective. Have we ever seen a World Cup quite like this one?
Not that I can remember. The World Cup 2018 in Russia was pretty unsurprising, I think, in most of the results. World Cup in 2014 was super fun, but again, very like predictable. And then I don't really remember 2010 and 2006 very well, other than Italy winning the final. So yeah, like this has been phenomenal. I don't think I'll ever be able to forget these games.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I don't think that with the amount of drama that's taken place, and perhaps that is largely in part to the way that the media plays its role in the modern day, but I would say that from that perspective, I don't think I remember anything quite like this either, so I'm with you on that for sure. And there is no doubt that the round of 16 was one to remember, but there was many big moments in each contest, which we are going to highlight here for you all right now. The round of 16 kicked off between the Netherlands and the United States. This was a match where, at least in my opinion, the Netherlands controlled the game tactically and really made the USA play into their hands. After the Netherlands were up 2-0, the USA did pull a goal back, only to have it put to bed by yet another Dutch goal late in the contest. This one ends by a score of 3-1 in favor of the Netherlands. Gee, I thought the Netherlands were smart in this contest, tactically solid and super clinical. What did you make of the match?
Yeah, I thought the Netherlands played a great, great, great game. The US also, they did play well. I think they were just outmatched in terms of quality.
Yeah, I agree with that. The US by no means had a poor game, but again, I just go back to the tactical analysis of this match where it was almost as though Louis van Gaal said, "You know what? to the United States. You can have the ball as much as you want. We're going to set these little traps in these little pockets in these specific areas of the park, and we're going to win it. And when we do get it, we're going to showcase our quality. And if you take a look at the possession statistics, and particularly where the U.S. had the majority of their possession, it was in very non-threatening areas. But once the U.S. started to come anywhere close to the opposition's third, the Netherlands were able to swarm and again set those traps and win the ball back in very key moments. So again, tactically very solid from the Netherlands. The second round of 16 game was yet another entertaining battle, and guess who it was led by? Lionel Messi. A mesmerizing performance by Messi led Argentina to a 2-1 victory against Australia. Gee, Australia were no soft touch in this game, but I do think that Argentina was the better side and did deserve the victory. Your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, absolutely. Almost the same as the Netherlands-USA game. Australia didn't play bad. They were just outmatched in terms of quality, and Argentina's quality came through.
Yeah, and again, specifically Lionel Messi, I'm watching that game and I'm sitting on my couch and I'm thinking to myself, the guy's just, he's just mesmerizing. He's just sensational and he never breaks stride. And he was just so good in this match. But like you said, player for player, Argentina far better, but by no means were Argentina bad on the day. They did give a very good account of themselves, I thought. Between history, a superb individual performance, and a classy team effort, France and Poland had all of that and some. France's Olivier Giroud became the country's all-time leading goal scorer, scoring the first goal of the match. No other than Kylian Mbappe stole the remainder of the show by getting another two goals to his name in this tournament. France's performance on the day sees them past Poland by a score of 3-1. Gaetano, I found this game to be so fun to watch for more reasons than one. France were just excellent. Your analysis of this match, sir?
Yeah, it was probably the best offense in the tournament against one of the best goalkeepers in the tournament, Wojciech Szczesny. It was just, it was great. The ex-Arsenal man, Olivier Giroud, who I just love to bits. He's so, so good. So underrated. Finally being France's all-time top goal scorer was great. And Kylian Mbappe, who will probably end up as France's all-time top goal scorer, finishing it off, was his kind of perfect touch.
Yeah, certainly. And I love the praise as well that Thierry Henry showed Olivier Giroud, because obviously Thierry Henry was the previous record holder for goals. And now we see two superstars that are at the absolute top of their game. Even Olivier Giroud, I think he might be about 37 years of age, give or take, 36 maybe, and he's still doing...
In that ballpark.
Yeah, he's still doing an amazing job, isn't he? And obviously, Mbappe is the present and the future, so France looking quite good in this tournament so far. England and Senegal met in the fourth match of the round of 16. With question marks looming for how England would line up, all questions were answered 39 minutes into the match when Jordan Henderson converted a Jude Bellingham pass to open the scoring. From that point forward, England never looked back as they went on to win the match by a score of 3-0. Gee, England looked solid in this match, and Jude Bellingham, in my opinion, was breathtaking in terms of his performance at just 19 years of age. Give us your breakdown here.
Yeah, I keep forgetting he's 19. It feels like he's been doing this for so long now, especially like I've seen most of him in the Champions League. I came against Manchester City a few times, but like, and then they go, oh, he's 19. I'm like, he's ridiculous. He is going to be probably one of the best, if not the best players in the world in a handful of years. And yeah, England played great. Phil Foden, another couple of assists for him. Great showing from England.
Yeah, and you'd hate to put one player above all else, because England looks so good this tournament, in my opinion. I think Gareth Southgate's doing a fantastic job. But for me, Jude Bellingham has to be the biggest story, because you were just referring to it in the Champions League with Dortmund playing against Manchester City. I remember it was, I believe, 2 years ago, because we were in the heart of the pandemic. There was no fans in the stadium. And I remember watching City against Dortmund in the Champions League. And I'm in the basement working out, and I'm watching the game on my laptop. And Jude Bellingham is putting on an absolute clinical performance. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, the kid's 17. And now he's 19, and he's doing what he's doing. So like you said, it feels like he's been around for forever. But he's literally a kid. He's not even 20 years old yet. So imagine what his career is going to be like. Everyone is going to be after him for sure. Japan and Croatia left it as late as you could leave it, where this game was decided on penalties. In this round of 16 match, after the game itself ended 1-1, it was the experienced Croatians who won on penalties, bettering their opponent 3-1 during the penalty shootout. Gee, some decent chances produced from both sides in this match, but it was decided on penalties in the end. What is your opinion on this one?
I think this is a pretty fair result going to penalties. I think both teams played a really good game. No, neither of them really outplayed each other. And then going down to penalties, it's just kind of luck, really.
Yeah, in many ways, it totally is. If Brazil haven't been on your footballing radar, they probably should be now. After meeting South Korea in their round of 16 match, it was Brazil who completely thumped South Korea by a score of 4-1. Gee, everywhere you look on the pitch for Brazil, it's world-class talent at every position. Just how good is this team and how good was this victory?
I think player for player, they're probably the best in the tournament. And they were just, yeah, simply phenomenal against South Korea. That Richarlison goal was just brilliant. Probably the goal of the tournament, I think.
Yeah, a wonderful team goal capped off by somebody who's been playing some good football as of late, but Brazil certainly looking some of the best in the tournament. And I guess, Gaetano, I don't have this one planned to ask, but I'll ask you anyways. There's a lot of discontent with the goal celebrations for Brazil. You have any sort of opinion on that?
Okay, so here's the thing, Scarps. I score in men's league and I get super hyped and celebrate pretty hard. So, like, I can't imagine scoring at a World Cup and not celebrating like a maniac. I don't care. You score in a World Cup, dance all you want, celebrate how you want, do your thing.
Yeah, and I've always been of the mentality that if you don't want people to celebrate when they score on you, don't let them score on you.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, in this next one, you can call it football, you can call it the unexpected, or you can call it drama of the ultimate type. We were treated to penalty kicks between Morocco and Spain in the round of 16. These two sides met back in 2018 where they drew 2-2. In this game, however, a winner needed to be decided. In penalties, it was Morocco who prevailed, converting 3 of their penalties to Spain's 0. Yes, that is right, 0. Gaetano, you have made comments on a few occasions that you felt Spain were likely out of their depth when it came to the players that they didn't bring into the squad, as well as other players being played out of position. In the end, it's Morocco who gets this job done. Give us your analysis of this encounter.
Yeah, I don't want to take anything away from Morocco because, like I said earlier, they're just phenomenal. They're playing great, but I don't think Spain helped themselves. You know, Sergio Ramos, probably still one of the best center backs in the world. He's been a great penalty taker his entire career. Was watching that game from home. And you scratch your head and you go, like, how do you not bring him, you know, even if he didn't play in the whole tournament, as a sub off the bench in the 120th minute to take a penalty because he's that kind of guy. And then you have the guys you do select score 0 penalties. It's just embarrassing, really.
Well, Luis Enrique is probably going to have questions to answer. I don't know if he's now on the hot seat, but like you said, you don't want to take too much away from Morocco because in the end, they got the job done, and that's what it's all about, particularly at this stage. And I saw an interesting statistic, Gaetano, that in Spain's last 2 exits of their respective competitions, in those games that they lost and were inevitably ousted from those tournaments, they combined over 1,000 passes in each of those games. So it just kind of goes to show in some cases that possession doesn't always equal victory or success. But I just found that to be an interesting statistic. And I think you said it a couple weeks back, you could have as much of the ball as you want, but if you don't do anything with it, it doesn't matter. And I think you did say that, correct?
Probably.
Yeah, so it's
I'll take it.
Yeah, it rings pretty true, particularly in this case. To finish the round of 16, it was Portugal and Switzerland who met in what was to be a top match between 2 very good sides. Perhaps the biggest news in this game was that Ronaldo was dropped to the bench, being left out by Fernando Santos, the Portugal manager. In the end, the decision was justified as Portugal went on to absolutely batter Switzerland by a near unthinkable 6-1 scoreline. Gaetano, I had Portugal winning this game, but nothing, and I mean nothing, quite like this. Just what happened in this game?
Yeah, no, and I had been praising Switzerland's defensive unit, you know, throughout the whole of the tournament. So I thought they were going to get through their group and, you know, get to where they are. But yeah, it's Portugal's got a very, very talented front-loaded team. But it's also wild to think that that's without Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, and now I guess the question starts to loom. What does Santos do, the Portuguese manager, what does he do in the next contest? Does he start Ronaldo or does he keep him on the bench? What do you think's going to happen there?
I think you have to keep him on the bench. Like, that's an absolutely absurd thing to say, but I think you have to keep him on the bench.
Well, the young lad that went in in his place, ended up scoring a hat trick. So again, I say the decision was ultimately justified, but if Portugal can play that good without Ronaldo, I would say that they're a force to be reckoned with, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
And with that being said, the quarterfinals are now set, and we will preview here the each of the matches rather for you right now. First, it will be a hot encounter between the experienced Croatia and the favorites, Brazil. Gaetano, who do you have coming out of this one?
It's such a tough game there. I really think it's going to be super, super tight, but I am going to go with Brazil.
Okay, so we are going to do very similar to how we did last time, Gaetano, with the group stage picks. And for me, I'm going to go Croatia. I just have this funny feeling. And the only reason I say this is because I am a little bit superstitious, not overly superstitious, but certainly a little bit. When John Herdman made the comment regarding Croatia, the Croatian players ended up using that as motivation. They made that very well known in their post-match press conferences. I think what's going to happen, and I don't really know why I feel this way, but I just do. I think Croatia is going to use sort of the arrogance and flair that Brazil's been having, and they're going to use that as internal and intrinsic motivation, and they're going to just go out and win this game. I don't know how they're going to win it, but I just have a funny feeling that they are going to win it. So I'm going to go with Croatia in this one. So there's our first difference of opinion in the first game of the quarterfinal. It will be the Netherlands and Argentina in the second quarterfinal. For one, it will be glory. For the other, it will be despair. What happens in this game, Gaetano?
I'm going to back Argentina on this one. I think Lionel Messi is kind of at that point in his career where this is his shot at a World Cup. And I think he's going to take this game by the scruff of the neck, and he's going to drag Argentina through it.
So I disagreed with you on the first one. I cannot disagree with you on this one. I absolutely think that this is going to happen as well. I think that this is going to be a huge game for Messi, but I don't want to make it all about him. And I'm sure that the Argentinians won't want to make it all about him as well. I just feel like Argentina as a team are just going to get by the Netherlands. The Netherlands certainly will not make it easy for them. I think Louis van Gaal will set up his team in a very pragmatic way. But I also agree, Argentina to win this game. Morocco and Portugal meet in a contest to which I'm certain not many people pictured. Gaetano, who do you have here?
This is a tough one because, you know, the kind of obvious choice is Portugal. They've been playing great, just coming off that 6-1 win in the round of 16. But Morocco's just been so, so good, and they've shocked everyone so far. So, I think I'm going to say Morocco.
A big, big call there, Gaetano, and a gutsy call, but I admire it totally. I just feel like maybe this is the time in the tournament where Morocco's beautiful run is going to come to an end. I was so impressed with Portugal's last game. I think the fact that they didn't play with Ronaldo, I think that speaks volumes to what they can do even without him. So for me, I'm going to go with Portugal in this one. But if Morocco do win, I think that that would be one heck of a story for this journey of theirs to continue. And perhaps the best of the lot is saved for last. It will be England and France who will square off to see who gets through to the semifinals. Gaetano, an absolute shame that one of these two miraculous sides will have to bow out of this tournament in this game. That said, who do you have moving on?
I'm going to put my money on this being the best game of the tournament for sure. The amount of quality on display is just ridiculous. But I'm going to have to give England just the slightest of edges on this one.
And G, I am with you totally on that. I don't think it's going to be by any means a large margin of victory, but I just have this feeling that with England's depth, with their quality, with what they've produced this tournament, and again, this takes nothing away from France, because like you said, this will probably be the best game of the tournament. I just feel like England is going to win this game. I'm not entirely sure why I feel that way. I did mention that their depth is really good and they have been playing good football, but I just think that there's something else there. I think that they've got something on their side, and I do believe as well that England will win. So as our group stages ended in a draw at 10 out of 16 each, we weren't able to have a winner of an adult beverage as a result of the draw. So I say, Gaetano, that we put it on the quarterfinals. How does that sound, brother?
Double or nothing, I'm in.
Awesome. So to recap, Gaetano's picks for the quarterfinals are Brazil, Argentina, Morocco, and England. My picks for the quarterfinals are Croatia, Argentina, Portugal, and England. So I have a funny feeling that someone here must win, and I'm really looking forward to that. Quarterfinal matches kick off this Friday, December 9th. Games are scheduled for 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Check your local sports television network for both of the games on December 9th. This is Daniel Scarpino and Gaetano Gallo, and you are listening to Full Time on the Game Sports Show. A reminder that Full Time is sponsored by Little Caesars Pizza. You can download and access the Pizza Portal app for any of the three locations in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Have a delicious, hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars today. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Full Time. As we wrap up today's show, we could not be any more thankful for you all being with us for yet another week of footy. Gaetano, as always, a true honor to talk the beautiful game with you, my friend.
Scarps, it's always a pleasure coming on Shock with you, bud.
Without doubt. A reminder to our listeners that the next episode of Full Time will be recorded and uploaded the week of December 12th. For weekly content, make sure to hit like, follow, and subscribe to all platforms of both the Game Sports Show and the Game Entertainment and Media on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and now back on Podbean. Be sure to check out our website at www.thegamesportsshow.com. That's www.thegamesportsshow.com. For Gaetano Gallo, my name is Daniel Scarpino, and thank you for tuning in to Full Time. We look forward to seeing you at kickoff next week, back here on the Game Sports Show and the Game Entertainment and Media. Best always.